Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Chuck, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are too.
Doing real good, man. Real good. Got a lot to get to here. There's spring game. You got your first commit to Coach Cal. But I want to bring up Whitey Herzog first here, because I know you grew up a Cardinals fan, as I think a lot of our listeners did here. And, you know, he passes away at age 94. And I mean, he was a dominant personality in the game of baseball for a long, long time. I had not heard Whitey's name in a while. And I wish it wasn't in death.
Yeah, I was up there a few years ago, and it just happened to be on a weekend when they were honoring Whitey for something, and he was back there, and it was just really cool to, you know, be in the same, as corny as it sounds, just be in the same stadium and see Whitey again, because, you know, for those of us who are old enough to remember and kind of came of age, I mean, he was baseball. I mean, everything he said about baseball was just the way it was. I mean, Whitey said this. Well, Whitey always said, well, Whitey says, I mean, that's how you played the game. And, you know, I was 19 when they won the World Championship in 82. And the one that they'd won before that was in 68, and I was 5, and I didn't remember it. But I remember the futility of the 70s. And Whitey came in, the first thing he did was trade Ted Simmons. I mean, it broke my heart. But they got Daryl Porter and Pete Vukovic, and he ended up trading Gary Templeton for Ozzie. He had the full run of the organization. That's back when they actually had an organization run by baseball people. But, you know, he just revamped the club, and away they went. And I can still see Bruce Sutter striking out Gorman Thomas and Daryl Porter jumping up in the air right where I was, because it was the first one of my lifetime, and there have been more. But, you know, for people my age, the Whitey Herzog eras, or the Whitey Herzog era and the Tony La Russa era, you know, you look at the way the franchise is run now, I don't know that we'll ever see their likes again. And Whitey was just, if you were a Cardinal fan, he was baseball.
Yeah. And I can second Whitey said this, Whitey said that, because when I worked at the Travelers, Bill Valentine said that all the time. And he got to know Whitey really well because they were an affiliate for all those years. So Whitey ball, speed, contact, putting guys in motion, maybe a power hitter, one maybe somewhere in the middle of the lineup. It was a fun brand of baseball, and it's not really the brand of baseball they play right now.
Well, you've got to remember, too, that we were a nation in the 70s that was fascinated by AstroTurf. As a sporting public, we were fascinated by it. You know, the Houston Astrodome was, you know, I mean, we were less than, you know, 20 years removed from that being constructed. And we were fascinated by AstroTurf. And every ballpark in the National League looked the same, had similar dimensions, and had AstroTurf. And you built your game around beating that ball into the ground and taking off. And they played it better than anybody.
Yeah, you got ideas about AstroTurf too, right, Matt?
Well, you know, when you have Vince Coleman and Willie McGee, you got to run, right?
Like
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, he built the team around the game was how the game was played at that time. You could not do that now. You can't beat the ball into a grass infield when, you know, it's 365 to the alleys. I mean, you don't play that game anymore. So. But that's the way the game was played then, and he did it better than anybody.
Speaking of people that was just playing a great game, he was just on fire. I don't know how much of the Masters you watched, Chuck. I watched the final round, and Scottie Scheffler, he reminded me when Rory McIlroy won at Quail Hollow a few years back, when he was just out driving everybody, position A, just his iron game. I mean, just he did not have a weakness, it seemed like, all week, and was the only one. It was fun to watch.
Well, and he won it with a putter. I mean, he really did. And you always win it with a putter, but that seems to be especially true there. You know, the undulation of the greens there, the speed of the greens, it's definitely for a professional golfer. And I thought that was where he was brilliant. I mean, he's won two Masters in five tournaments. Mm. You know, he may own that place like few others. I mean, who knows? Lots of things can happen over the course of a career, but he's the best out there right now, that's for sure. Those who know the game that I've talked to, those who really know the game, say he's the best ball striker since Tiger. You know, that no one's hit the ball, and I'm not saying Stricker or he does, but I'm saying that the people that follow the game say that he strikes the ball better than anyone since Tiger. But yeah, he was great all weekend.
Well, let's have you practiced Zvonimir Ivicic very much? Did he play against Arkansas?
Yeah, Zvonimir Ivicic. I practiced at that last. That
was smooth right there.
Well, it is. Yeah. Smooth. And you can tell I practiced it before the game. I'm not sure that's exactly right, but that's what I'm going with. And if you say it the same way every time, sounds like you know what you're talking about. So Zvonimir Ivicic is the way is the way it was told to me that night when we played him.
Chuck, I don't know if I'm more excited to see him come over on a help side and block a shot, or to see him catch a hoop and swing on the rim for a second.
He can play all over the floor. You know, he's a classic European big man who can run the floor, handle the ball, shoot, pass, and dribble. He can do all those things. But he can also go down low. And when you're 7'2", you've just got a lot of natural built-in advantages there. So, you know, he's still learning the game. At least he's still learning the way we play the game. And, you know, there were points last year at Kentucky he was just off the charts. And there were some games where, he really wasn't that big a factor. But, you know, again, he only played half the year. So his best days are in front of him. He's going to play in the NBA. I mean, I don't know if he'll be here more than a year. But, yeah, that's exciting to get a player like that.
Hey, I do want to ask you about a guy that's going to Texas, and Tremont Mark. I thought, if you were just looking at it, I thought he was our best player on the team last year that could do everything as far as offense, defense, everything. It's going to kind of be an L. I'm going to be pulling for him. How do you think he'll do at Texas, and do you think Coach Cal, is there anybody from last year's roster that will be on this next year's team?
Well, let me talk about Tremont Mark first. I think Tremont Mark's a complimentary player. I don't think, and I'm just going to be honest here, I don't think Tremont Mark can be the best player on a Final Four team. I think he can be an integral part of a Final Four team, but I don't think he can be the best player on that team. I don't think he's that good enough. I think he's a really good player. I mean, a really, really good college player. But if he's your best player, I doubt you're going to the Final Four. And I think he'll do well at Texas because I don't know that he's going to have to go down there and be their best player. I think we'll see a similar player to what we saw at Houston. A very, very good complementary player. Better than average, well above average in terms of complementary players. But he can't be the guy. He just can't be.
What about anybody else to come back? Battle?
All right. I keep – and look, I'm just speaking off the top of my head, but I just wonder what's going to happen with Devo. I think Lawson Blake will be back, one of the walk-ons. I don't know what's going to happen with Bayfall. I'm not sure. I just don't know. And I don't know what's going to happen with Devo, but I hope maybe there's a possibility there. That's just a personal feeling, and just a personal opinion, I guess, would be the better way to put it. That may not be the direction they go. I have no idea. And there's going to be an upgrade in talent like we've never seen. Unprecedented in terms of Razorback basketball. And you know, I don't know how he or if he fits into all that. But I still, there's a part of me, a big part of me, quite honestly, that believes he needs to be a Razorback, not just for now, but for 10, 20, 30 years from now. I believe that. And I don't know if it'll work out or not, but in the back of my mind, I do hope there's a way it can.
Defense travels, and that's the thing. And he's an elite defender, and I'm with you. I think he's a future Arkansas Sports Hall of Famer. I would love to see him come back. Blocker's another one. And you don't know. You don't know what Coach Cal's thinking, because you're right. I mean, the talent uptick, I mean, everybody's going to be able to play.
Well, you're right. I think it's important, and I've always believed this. When you've got a new leader, I don't care if it's a new business, new whatever, new boss at work, whatever. It's incumbent upon you to reach out to them. There's nobody out there that's so irreplaceable that they can say, oh, I'd like to stay, but I want him to come to me. It's very important at times like this that if you want to be part of it, you need to reach out and say so. If you're waiting on a Hall of Fame coach to come to you, probably going to be a long wait.
It's an interesting conversation to look at, too, and it's almost like in reverse of some of the things that we've brought up. When a player commits, are you committing to a school or are you committing to a coach? Well, it can be the same idea of going into the transfer portal. Are you leaving that team because of the coach? You know, I mean, and quite honestly, I'm not saying this to like throw blame around or anything or throw Muss under the bus or anything like that. But I think that's a reason why players leave. When you get a new coach that's coming in, I mean, it's going to be up to Cal whether or not he wants Devo if he does reach out. But I guess in that case, I'd be surprised if Devo did not reach out.
Well, I would be surprised too, frankly. But, you know, I don't know all the inner workings there. I have no idea. This is going to be new for everybody. And there is going to be an influx of talent that is unprecedented. That is not an overstatement. And we've seen the first one, and it's not going to be the last. There's going to be a lot more. And everything that happens, I think, is going to excite people even more. And I think that's what we're in for the next few months. But, you know, they're talking about committing to a school or a coach. I'll give you an example. Devo committed to the University of Arkansas. Reed Shepherd committed to the University of Kentucky. Josh Cohen committed to Eric Musselman.
Yep.
You know,
Ivicevic committed to Cal.
So, I mean, every situation's different. I don't know that there's a hard and fast rule. Your logic would tell you that it would make the most sense to say, well, in-state kids commit to the school, out-of-state kids commit to the coach. I don't know if that's true all the time or not. You know, it's a different world now.
Hey, let's take a phone call from Brian in Ozark, and then we will hit a break. Brian is on the McLarty Daniel hotline, and you got Chuck Barrett here too. Brian, go on.
Hey,
what's up?
What's going on? I want to make a comment about Trayvon Martin going to Texas.
Shoot.
You know, he's also teaming up with two highly profile kids from Indiana State that is coming from playing for the NIT championship. So, Trayvon Marks isn't going to be the player. A kid by the name of Trey Johnson was the number one recruit in 2024. Five-star coming out of Dallas will probably be the man at Texas, as well as that other five-star kid. I think Trayvon Marks is going to be a beast at Texas, and I think he'll do very well. I'll just hang up and listen.
All right.
Well, I think he will, too. Don't misunderstand what I said a minute ago. I think he'll do well at Texas because he will not be called upon to be their best player.
And he's in the SEC. That's what I forget. Like Arkansas is going to get to play. How cool is that, right?
Yeah. I don't know what the schedule looks like yet, but I have a sense.
Will we play them, you think, twice or once?
I was kind of wondering if they might do that.
I don't know. I have no idea what they're thinking. Got to play Kentucky twice now, so I mean, you've only got so many games.
That's right.
I would imagine there will be some years where they do. Yeah.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
And we got Terry from Alma right now with us on hold, who's on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Terry, thanks for calling Halftime. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Well, the first time I fell with players, went to Arkansas. And from my sources, I think Knox is going to be the next one in the next couple of days to sign with Arkansas. And I'm just wondering who y'all think will be the ones following them. I'll hang up
listening,
guys. Y'all
have a great day. Oh, I was going to ask Terry for the phone number of his source, because that's who I was going to call to.
Well, I suspect that all the names that we've heard are in play. I would just say that. My suspicion is that all those names are in play.
Yeah. I don't go doing the digging and everything. I just know that if they were committed to Cal at Kentucky, there is a pretty good chance they're going to be committed to Cal at Arkansas. That happened when he moved from Memphis to UK. I know, didn't I read it? I read about it. John Wall was committed to him at Memphis. DeMarcus Cousins was committed to him at Memphis. Where do they play? They played at Kentucky.
Hey, Chuck.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it is going to be, and I don't know where all these guys are going to end up. I mean, as I say, I suspect strongly that all of them are in play. But regardless of who they are, I'll say what I said earlier. We are about to see an unprecedented influx of talent.
Chuck, I was looking at this. Grant Hill's roster came out for the Paris 2024 Olympics, and I think they're leaving one slot open right now. And I'll tell you the names real quick. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Haliburton, and Kevin Durant. Yes to all those guys. The one thing that I would go for is a true point guard, whether it be Jalen Brunson, Dame Lillard. I know you're a Knicks fan. I think Jalen Brunson's ready. You think he's ready to be an Olympic point guard?
Well, I think he'd be good on that team, yeah. But I think either one of those guys would be great on that team. The thing that I would hope would be that your roster is – you've got a blend of young guys and old guys. You know, you're talking about some of the names that you threw out there are really veteran guys.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. But as we've seen, I mean, nothing's guaranteed in basketball when you get to the Olympics anymore. I mean, there are great European teams out there, great. You look at the guys that dominate in the NBA. I mean, there's more than just a few that play for other nations in the Olympics. So it's very competitive, and I just want to make sure, I hope they make certain, and I'm sure they will, that they've got enough guys out there that can give them all the minutes that they need. It really means something to them.
Chuck, I listened a little bit to the Saturday spring football broadcast as I was getting ready for the baseball game in Tuscaloosa. And, man, I mean, it sounded like it was impressive, but it's I know spring games are scripted. This one was scripted. You know, they're meant to serve a purpose to kind of show what you've been doing during spring ball. What stood out to you?
Well, the quarterback did. That was the thing that I came to see. I mean, I'll be honest. I wanted to see how the offensive line did. And I think the offensive line's better. Now, we'll begin to get an idea when we see them go good on good, so to speak, which you'll do when the season starts. And we didn't see quite so much of that on Saturday. But I know they feel like they've got a chance to be a lot better. You know, when you look at the offense right now, the two tackles, the center and the quarterback, they feel like they've gotten appreciably better at the tackle spots and at the quarterback position particularly. They weren't bad at center last year. I'm not suggesting that. Nichols is a good player, but they had a pretty good center last year. They're not set on their depth, and I think that's one of the things we're going to see through the portal. I think they'd like to get two more linemen. I think they'd like to get a guard and a tackle on the offensive line. I think they'd like to get a few backups on the defensive line too, a couple if they can. But that stood out to me. Talon Green is the real deal at quarterback. He's going to be the leader of the football team. And I'm anxious to see him play in real games. I'm anxious to see them, you know, when they unveil it against UAPB, but more than anything, when they go to Stillwater and play Oklahoma State.
Hey, Chuck, did you see any speed? Anybody flash some speed, whether it be on the defensive side or are the offensive side, any explosive plays?
Oh, there were, you know, not so much. It was, you know, Jordan Anthony's a fast guy. They've, you know, they had him on a couple of kickoff returns. I think if, you know, Anthony's that guy that if he could maybe be that sixth receiver, you know, when he talks mm-hmm. about when Pittman says we might like to go get another receiver, I think he's talking about that sixth spot. You know, Anthony's one of those guys. I think Satania's got a chance to thrive with some of these underneath routes, these drag routes that Petrino loves. You know, it was not a game where you had an abundance of breakaway plays. And I'll cite Jaquindon Jackson as an example. Not necessarily a breakaway guy, but man, I mean, you walked away from that scrimmage thinking that dude's a football player now. You know, between the tackles, screen pass, cutting back, scoring. He's not going to outrun anybody, I don't think, on like a 75-yard run. You get the angle on him, you'll get him. But I think he's really solid. I think he's really good.
You remember Ronnie Brown at Auburn?
I do.
That's who I think of. I've seen Jackson play at Utah, kind of that type of back, and he's a complimentary back because he had Cadillac Williams with him. If you give somebody and I think you have to have two or three backs, and I think Arkansas
Chuck,
does.
Chuck, the thing that stood out when the piece I was listening, you were detailing how I didn't realize he was a quarterback at Texas.
He
doesn't run like a run. Like you picture that he would be like running away from everybody. He's like kind of good with contact.
He's fine with it.
He's tough.
He went to Texas as a freshman, redshirted as a quarterback, went to Utah, saw his first action at Utah as a quarterback, and played a little running back, and then they moved him to running back full time. So he's an athlete. And more than anything, and Matt, I think you'll appreciate this, he sees everything. He sees the game through the eyes of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. You know, being an old quarterback myself, you know, I think that's being the all-time quarterback in a game with eight-year-old cousins, I think that's important.
Well, it does. I think of a guy like George Wilson, Chuck, that was a teammate of mine who was a receiver in college and then goes on to the NFL and plays 8 years as a safety. You know, it's just all pro safety. That's kind of what that makes me think of, Jaquindon Jackson, being an athlete, just being a natural athlete.
As a football player, he's kind of like you, Matt. Seriously, I mean, you know, pick your spot, put him there, and he'll be productive.
Take a phone call from Juwan in Fayetteville, and then we'll hit the break and say good afternoon to Chuck. Hey, Juwan, you're on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. What's going on?
Well, how you doing? I watched the spring game the other day, and I've seen a lot of good things. Looks like all the wide receivers have improved, but I've also watched all spring practice and read some spring reports. And I realized that Taylen Green was going against the twos on Saturday. He wasn't going against the ones. So I still want to see what Taylen Green can do against some SEC competition, because when I was reading, he was going good on good. He was under 60% passing the ball. And Hudson Clark had an interception. Brad Spence intercepted passes day after day. They weren't all Taylen Green. But I still want to see, can he match what KJ did? Or be better, because KJ Jefferson was never under 67% completion percentage in his Arkansas career. So I just want to see, do you think Taylen Green can be that in the SEC? Because scrambling alone, I don't think can do it. Because we have defensive ends in this league that run 4.4s and 4.5s and that are freaks. So I don't think people are really going to, you as a running quarterback, you can't really break away all the time. Even Jaden Daniels took some hits last season, so.
Well, sorry about that, Juwan. Yeah, we're right up against the break.
I think all those are fair questions. They're all fair questions that are going to have to be answered. They're going to have to be answered, and we'll all find out together.
You just found, I mean, Juwan is as thorough of a caller as you will find.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good point. It's a fair question.
It is.
And the most honest answer is, we don't know yet.
That's a good idea. I mean, I'll start believing after Oklahoma State, pretty much. That's the way I'll look at it.
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
I got a text last night as I was eating dinner with my kids from Melissa Orange. It was from Citi Field in Queens, where I don't know they were playing, but the Mets were playing. Who are you watching, Alyssa, and how was the ballpark?
Is that a joke?
The Mets?
Jose Reyes, is he still playing for him?
I don't know who they were playing.
Yeah, no, they were playing the Pirates. It's why I sent it to you.
Well, no, see, no, you don't. I don't want to have my eyes on that. I've watched a game and a half of the Pirates. They've lost them both. I was literally not paying attention to them yesterday on purpose. Who won the game?
Oh, the Mets did.
See,
but they did have a 3-0 lead at some point.
It's because you sent me a photo of the Pirates, Alyssa.
I'm sorry.
It's the only place where the jinx works, and now it's on you.
I'm sorry. But it was really fun. But yeah, that's why I was like, look, the Pirates are playing the Mets. I got excited. Mm-mm. My bad.
Don't get excited when the Pirates are playing, man. You'll learn your lesson at some point.
No, it was great.
What's going on in New York City?
So we're here for the Olympic Media Summit for Team USA. So we've been talking to athletes the past couple days. They've had some really good panels on mental health and security and, you know, comeback athletes and, you know, they're about to have a track and field one here in a little bit, which has a couple names that some Arkansas fans would recognize. Tar Davis Woodhull is here. She's married to Hunter Woodhull, but she trains in Fayetteville. And then Ryan Krauser, who also trains in Fayetteville, will be here tomorrow. So it's been good. I do have to say, though, about my Mets thing, you know, Mike Piazza is my favorite player ever. So I just hung out in the Mike Piazza lounge and took photos and sent them to my dad the whole time.
They claim him and the Dodgers claim him. The Marlins do not.
No, it was only for a day. It was less than 24 hours, so it was fine.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. So from afar, you obviously saw about the news about Zvonimir Vesic committing to Arkansas. We're hearing reports of other 7-footers that might be coming to visit Arkansas. And, you know, I just wonder what the rest of the week is going to be like. I can't imagine that Vesic is the only commit that announces this week.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think this was just, you know, the first ball to drop. And it's going to be exciting to see kind of what happens, because you had Cal's announcement, his introductory ceremony and welcome ceremony, then he had to get on a plane to go to his own awards ceremony in California. So it had been quiet for a few days. Not that things weren't going behind the scenes, but Arkansas fans just really anxious for this first one to drop, and it finally did. And I think it's just a domino effect of what we're going to see. And Wallace Spearman is here as well, and I was talking to him, and he was just like, I'm really excited to see like who Cal can bring to Fayetteville. Not only some former players who can come back and watch, but also, you know, guys that he can come in and help continue to elevate the program.
OG Wallace Spearman, there we go.
Big
fan of his. Tyson Gay as well. Speaking of our Arkansas in the Olympics, we got any Arkansas in any of these track events?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have, well, this isn't track, but para swimming, and I've done a story on her, Olivia Chambers. She's from Little Rock, but she is blind, started losing her eyesight at 16. She will be here. She's expected to do really well at the para games as a swimmer. And then you look at you hope Britton Wilson, who's not from Arkansas, but obviously went to Arkansas and trained still in Fayetteville, to rehab really well, come back and be able to make this Olympic team. Sandy Morris is another name where she's looking for her third games. So a lot of Arkansas ties, you know, even look at Jaden Hibbert, who won the Bowerman, and he's someone who could easily bring some medals in for Jamaica. Even though, you know, he's not in Arkansas, that the program that Arkansas has, people want to go there to compete because they know they can be Olympians and they can compete on that level.
Is there any event, Alyssa, that you love watching the most? I was talking with Phil. I love the track relay, especially the sprint, the 4x2, the 4x1, 4x4. What are some of the events that you just love watching?
You have to love the sprints and the hurdles. I mean, the hurdles is amazing because of how fast they go and how graceful they do it. It's incredible. I've really kind of fallen in love with the jumps after covering Jaden Hibbert for a while, and that's kind of on the track side. But as a young girl, I mean, gymnastics is what people watched, and I grew up remembering watching the gymnastics. It's like during the winter, you watch the figure skating. As a young girl, that's what I grew up watching every 4 years.
I'm into the velodrome events, and I'm not into racing normally, but that's fun. I mean, the speed and how close they are right next to each other. Mm-hmm. How do you know what you're covering when you go over?
It's going to be a day-to-day thing, and we're still trying to figure that out. They have most of the schedule out, so we kind of know what events are happening, but there's going to be a rotation of, you know, someone is just going to the events and getting the media availabilities afterwards, and then other people are going to put in packages. And the Olympics have so many, you know, rules with what you can show and what you can't show. So our non-NBC affiliates we're doing stuff for, we'll get more of stuff like the vibe of Paris and like what's going on around the games and not the games specifically. So our assignment's going to change day to day, hour to hour. And I think that's what's going to be exciting. So that's what I've been told. It's my first one. So I'm excited to get over there and kind of see how it all unfolds.
I'd file to be the food correspondent, Matt. Screw the sports. Give me the food.
Yeah, the wine and cheese.
That's right.
Wine and cheese correspondent here. Thank you.
I was looking. I pulled up the list of events. I'm a little jealous, Alyssa. It's going to be cool to get over there and see. And then you have the new event, the basketball 3-on-3. But I was looking up like the modern pentathlon. It's like, okay, what's that? And I was thinking like it was a track event. It's totally just it's out there. It's like 20 minutes before the event starts, you get to pick a horse. Then you got to ride a horse. Then you have to do fencing. To swim.
What is modern about this?
I swim a 200-mile freestyle. I mean, this has got to be the coolest event out
there.
That's
incredible. Holy cow. No, that's exciting. Like, I'm also excited, like, the artistic swimming, which is synchronized swimming, water polo. We just talked to some of the females on the water polo team, and they are awesome. And that's the biggest thing is once you talk to these athletes, even if it's a sport that you're not familiar with or you don't know much about, you're like, heck yeah, I'm going to go watch that. Like, this weightlifting girl got me pumped after her interview. So I'm excited for a little bit of everything.
Hey, you and I were texting about this last night. You're in New York. Marquisha Davis drafted by the New York Liberty. What was it, 11th or 12th overall?
11th overall, yeah.
Wow. Former Arkansas Razorback, straight out of McGee, played at Springdale. 2 years at Arkansas, less than 2 years at Arkansas, if I remember now, and then 2 years, yeah. I think, at Ole Miss. I didn't realize that she was on draft boards, but there she goes. She's got all the athleticism in the world. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and I have to say, Phil, I didn't either. I did not, as I was scrolling through, kind of looking at who was going when, and I saw that and I was like, holy cow, I did not anticipate that. And maybe that's just for my lack of looking it up. But again, I guess the growth at Ole Miss really has stood out. And I was talking to Pat Jenkins today. He said this is the third Arkansan to ever be drafted in the WNBA. So real shout out to Marquisha Davis, who I know a lot of fans cheered for when she was at Arkansas because she was, you know, played at Springdale. And that's an exciting time for her.
Well, and then, you know, there's so much focus on the men's team and the portal activity and all of that, that it kind of fell by the wayside that Taliyah Scott transferred to Auburn. Obviously you saw that. I didn't expect that. I thought, look, and I think they have a good program, but I thought she may have ended up somewhere else. But the photo of her shooting money in her announcement.
Very telling.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very telling. So that's the first thing I thought, too, was, well, that's telling. And the second thing I thought was interesting, she had said go Tigers on Jersey Wolfenbarger's thing, and everyone thought, oh, she'll go to LSU. Well, she went to the other Tigers team, so she went to Auburn. But she put out a tweet and said that she didn't want to be a part of something that was already established. She wanted to go and help build something, which is very interesting to me because what were you doing at Arkansas? Like, that's what we were doing here. So, and then you post the picture of money, and I'm not going to sit here and speculate, but I think, you know, people aren't dumb.
Yeah, must have had a little something to do with it, which is the direction of sports these days. But you know what?
College athletics. You know, and that's a topic we've been talking about here, too. A lot of questions are just with the way that college athletics is going. What would that look like for some of these non-revenue Olympic sports on the collegiate level? And how much they depend on the collegiate level to be that stepping stone for these athletes to compete on an Olympic level. And is this NIL world that we're living in going to scale back some of these other Olympic sports down the road? It's been a big topic of conversation here. It's been very interesting.
Well, and remember, the Olympics used to just be about amateurism. You couldn't have any mm-hmm. professionalism, no sponsorships or anything, if I remember. And you know, I think yep. there's still some, I don't know if there's some sports that in the Olympics that are viewed that way or if it's all now mostly, you know, professional athletes. But I think that's the direction it's gone. And, you know, that seems to be the direction college sports are going too.
Yeah, well, and if you look at these athletes specifically on, you know, the water polos and the weightlifting and these smaller, not as popular sports, even swimming, they don't make a lot of money. And so they've got to find some other kind of form of income to be able to support themselves financially and then also train. And, you know, so you have to look at that. But then you look at there are going to be track athletes who win gold who will get a monetary stipend for winning at the Olympics in track and field. We talked about that, too. So it's very interesting the way that things are moving. And there's a lot of support on, you know, athletes should be paid for their results in the Olympics. And it's a big conversation and it just opens up a lot of doors for exactly the direction that things are going.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Try the new Traveler Whiskey, a Chris Stapleton and Harlan Wheatley collaboration. A great buy. Also, Hard Truth Sweet Mash Bourbon and Rye are available. Only at Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Good afternoon, Bill, and happy Portal Opening Day. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's up?
The portal's up, man. You got it looked like 7 players already leaving Colorado today, including a former Razorback in Miles Slusher. Do you view this portal window in an identical way to the December portal window? I know that this one is shorter, but do you think you get the same kind of player that leaves after spring ball?
That's a good question. I don't know if I've got enough data to determine that. I don't think we've been doing it long, at least for me, to know if this portal is different as far as the level of players you may get. I think the spring portal, the 15-day window, is indicative of spring practice where either one of two things has happened. You've looked at the depth chart, you don't like your situation, or they told you to go. It's one of the two. And maybe it's more of that in this window than maybe in December.
Hey, Bill, what about the difference between Ole Miss and Georgia and how the two did their spring game with Ole Miss kind of doing a Pro Bowl thing, Georgia hitting? Or which one are you kind of in favor of?
I, about 30 years ago, divorced myself from spring games. I was sitting at a spring game realizing I was wasting 4 hours of my life watching fake football. Now, I don't really... Lane Kiffin doesn't want to show anybody anything. Not that you would anyways. I don't really have a problem with him just trying to have a good time, because games are fake, guys. They're rigged games. I don't need to see Carson back. I just... But if you said, Matt, if you said, Bill, I'm making you go to a game, you got to go, I'd rather go see what Georgia was doing than a hot dog eating contest. I mean, that's not where my interest is.
But it's also indicative of maybe what a team needs. Even, I mean, Sam Pittman's talked openly that the team needs to be more physical than they were the year before. They're hitting more.
Yeah.
They're tackling to the ground more in spring. So, I mean, and look, I mean, they were tackling in the spring game at Arkansas. They just weren't tackling Taylen Green for obvious reasons.
Right.
But, I mean, that
right.
to me, it's like it says, what does your program need? And Arkansas needed some toughness.
Yeah, and Ole Miss has got a very veteran roster and a very veteran transfer portal group. And I'm sure they just want to chill a little bit. And, you know, Kirby's got a lot of old school in him. So I'm not surprised. That's the way he's going to do things. Kirby's not going to be the guy. And you remember, Kirby and Lane were together at Alabama for a few years, a couple of years there. So they know each other, but two totally different personalities for sure.
Hey, Bill, I was wondering about LSU's defense. Have they made any progression? Have they solidified anything on that? Because that defense was pretty bad last year, and they've overhauled. They lost some of their coaches, or, I mean, they got rid of and kind of went a different direction. Do you think they're going to be able to be a little better on the defensive side of the ball this year?
I do. Their main concern is up front, and they're going to be in this current portal taking defensive linemen. They've already had some visit, I believe. But that is a big – they need big bodies. And as we all know, that position is very difficult. They're not readily available ever. But they're gonna fill the void. They're going to bring in 2-3 defensive linemen in this current portal. But they do feel like they've solidified. They've become more fundamental. But, Matt, you're right. That's the side of the ball that's clearly the question for them heading into the season.
What do you feel Brian Kelly's standing is over at LSU? You know, they got the division title in a year that it felt like it was a down year. Maybe that's just because Alabama wasn't as good as expected and LSU beat them. But, you know, they've been good, but I guess, you know, LSU just expects greatness. They expect national champions, and they expect that in every program. And he has yet to even really come close on delivering yet.
I think that he is still in the honeymoon period. Now, I know we're heading into, what, year three? And I think we're towards the end of it. But, no, I think he's still incredibly popular. I still think they all believe in what he can get done there. They have had some personnel shortcomings that he's had to bridge the gap with. They've got a phenomenal, already a phenomenal 25 class committed. Top running back in America, top quarterback in America. I think the future trends well. Now, this year might get a little choppy. This year may not be, probably won't be the year they break through. It's very unlikely, but I think the future looks really good.
We had a shakeup, a little bit of a shakeup in college baseball, but I kind of want to get your thoughts right now in the SEC. Who do you? A&M's number one right now. Are you a fan? What's A&M's really good at this year?
I think they're probably the most consistent team pitching and hitting. That combination right now, I think. You look at Arkansas, you think about the phenomenal pitching. not always hitting. You look at Tennessee, and I don't think there's a better hitting team in America. And I think this team right now probably hits the ball better than that team 2 years ago that broke all kinds of records. Their pitching is not what it needs to be, though. And I think that's going to be a problem. But I think A&M guys at the moment, what are we, halfway into intra-league play, probably is the most consistent team. And I'm skipping out of Kentucky. I love what Kentucky's doing. I'm still needing a little bit more data. They have a huge series in Lexington against Tennessee this weekend. That will be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be big. But, I mean, A&M, they literally took Vanderbilt out to the woodshed this last weekend. I mean, that's what got them number one. Not just the sweep,
right,
but that they kicked the crap out of Vanderbilt. And that's the thing that,
correct.
I mean, I think I'm when I'm looking at baseball, I'm like, did you win the game? Did you score more runs than the other team? That's what I'm looking at. What right. I think what a lot of fans right now are looking at is that A&M is, and Kentucky in a lot of cases, are destroying yep. their competition.
And again, Kentucky guys is not a long ball team. They small ball you and they run and they're very well coached. And hey, doesn't matter how you put it up on the scoreboard, if you're scoring, but it's a little bit different. And guys, it's going to be fun these next several. What do we have? 4 or 5 weeks left of the regular season. It goes fast. And you would know because you broadcast it every day, but it's a rapidly moving year.
We got 5 weeks, 5 weeks of the regular season left. Yeah. Hogs are in South Carolina this next weekend and still get Kentucky, still get A&M, still get Mississippi State and Florida. Florida is the team that's fallen off, though, that nobody saw this coming. I think they're right at 500 or a game over. And they were number two to start the season, so that one kind of came out of nowhere. But, yeah, the Razorback schedule, Bill, is incredibly backloaded right now.
It is. It's guys, I tell you, it's like I mentioned, about 8-10 years ago, I started adopting baseball. I did not know that was happening to me. It just organically happened. I love it. I even plan Tuesday and Wednesday night games to have on TV, even though most of them are garbage, right? I plan them and watch them. I find myself doing that.
Well, you're going to be – then you ought to be watching ESPN2 tonight at 7 because it's Arkansas hosting Texas Tech. Ravitch and Kyle Peterson are on the call. So that could be worth your time. Did you grow up at all a Major League Baseball fan, Bill?
Dodgers. Yeah, and in the 70s and 80s, I was a Dodger fan. And when they won it in 88, I guess, Oral Hershiser's year,
mm-hmm.
I remember that. And then, of course, the Dodgers now have Mookie Betts, who is from Nashville, played high school ball up at Overton. Now, I had no idea he'd be that kind of ball player, but I don't follow them. I mean, today I couldn't tell you if they play, when they play, who they're pitching. I lost Major League Baseball as a passion probably during the steroid era. I was done.
Well, if you're a Dodgers fan in the 80s, then Whitey Herzog passed away. I think it was this morning or late last night, age 94. You know, it's interesting, you bring up how Kentucky plays baseball. That's the style of baseball that Whitey managed. You know, get guys on base, steal the base, move them around, hit and run, not a lot of home yep. runs. Like, that's exactly the style Kentucky plays.
I remember a playoff game between St. Louis and the Dodgers where Ozzie Smith hit a key home run. Ozzie, the greatest probably defensive shortstop ever, and he hit a home run against my Dodgers. Bill, that was also a final blow.
Bill, I think I even know the pitcher he hit it off of. I think he hit it off of Tom Niedenfuhr. I think I remember this home run. I think it was the only left-handed home run Ozzie hit all year. Yeah, I remember this one.
No. From his Little League career till then,
that's
the
right.
only one he ever hit.
That's right, and I still remember the Jack Buck call on the home run by the Wizard. I still remember that. That's right.
That one hurt. That hurt.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.